Sam asked me to come up here and talk to you guys, and so here I am. I came to know Jesus at a very young age. I was about 5 years old, and a speaker came to probably kindergarten at the school that I was at. And I went to a Christian school called Christian Challenge, which if you're older, you may have heard of it. And he spoke of Jesus Christ and redemption and sin. And for some reason, probably through the power of the Holy Spirit, I knew that it was all true. I mean, I knew it. It was just, I was sure. And they went through the prayer, and I said the prayer, and I knew that I was saved. I was 100% sure, I'm sure right now, that at that time I understood what it meant, and it was a done deal. And so then I proceeded to attend Christian Challenge School for until I was in the sixth grade, and then I went to a school called Berean Academy, and which is out by Elbing, Kansas, or Newton, which is a long ways away from here, to a kid. And so until I was about a senior, I was about 18 years old. Now, during this time, the entire time that I was going to Christian schools, I was also going to church on Sunday and Saturday and Wednesday and sometimes Friday. And lots of times, especially later, when I was old enough to decide what I wanted to do, it was because I wanted to. I didn't go because I had to. I mean, Mom and Dad would make me go on Sunday and Wednesday, and you know how it is. Oh, church, oh my goodness, no. I loved church, and I loved to be there, but you never wanted to go. And even when I was little, and when I was very little, and I first became saved, I knew that it was real, and it was important to me in a way that, not to be judgmental, but I didn't feel like it was important to lots of other little kids and other people. Like when we were in school and we had Bible class, which we had every day for however long it was, I always thought that was one of my, I loved it. I mean, I was into it. And that continued all the way up through high school. And I may have mentioned this before, and it's kind of a corny thing to say now, but I mean, I loved it so much that I got an award for being the most Christian kid at school. Whatever that, really? I don't even know what that means. Yeah, they did. What was that, most Christian junior or sophomore or whatever. And I don't even know that they called it that, but it was just like, this is to this person who really cares. And because when I was in Bible class, I was all over it. I loved it. And I was not a particularly great student. I didn't love school. It was always really difficult for me. I mean, awful. And so Bible and art were great, and everything else was awful. But anyway, then when I got to be about 18 years old, I decided that I wanted to have a girlfriend, you know, and I wanted it to be the right kind of girlfriend. And so I started praying about it, and she didn't show up as fast as I wanted her to. And so I decided that I was going to go see if I could find her on my own. And about the same time, I kind of was sick of that school, and at the same time, my parents said, if you want to, you can go to East High. We're kind of low on cash this year, and you've been there a long time, and it's okay. And I said, all right, I'll leave. So I did. And I met a girl there, and she wasn't a Christian girl. She wasn't a bad girl, so to speak, but it turned into a relationship that wasn't really appropriate, so to speak. And that started when I was about 18 years old. And from the time that I was about 18 years old to the time that I was about 38 years old, I went down a path that has really had nothing to do with God. And I was talking to somebody recently, and he was telling me about some of the things in his life. And I said, you know, sounds like you're kind of in this state of low-level rebellion. And because he was, you know, he was kind of doing this and doing that. No, none of it was really bad, but it was kind of obvious to me. Well, let me just say, I wasn't in a state of low-level rebellion. I mean, if that makes any sense. I don't know how I should say it, but I mean, if you could do it, I was doing it. And not in a low-level way for a long time, a lot of years. And I didn't really care about anything except having fun, if that makes any sense. And you could tell by where I lived. I lived with my mom for like 10 of those years. And, I mean, we're talking from the time I was, well, born until I was about 26. And then I moved back in after I got divorced for another 5 or 6 years. So I didn't care about anything except having a good time. And so that's where my money went. Ultimately, I ended up getting married again. And my life had changed a little bit. I wasn't making quite as many reckless choices. I was a little bit more efficient sinner. I was more capable of doing things without paying high physical consequences, if that makes any sense. The hangovers didn't last as long. The divorces didn't come as quickly. Things like this. So I also had got a job that made me able to make a lot more money than I had ever done before. Tons more money. And so I could do anything I wanted. I mean, really, I could afford almost anything I wanted. Not like Ferraris and planes, but, you know, all the little stuff that you think, I'd like that pair of sunglasses or those cool jeans or this stereo. It was no problem. And I found myself making choices that were more and more about me. And I started thinking about it. Every now and then it would kind of get to me, and I had a little breakdown probably when I was like 36, and I thought, why am I so selfish? And I was right in the middle of about to get a divorce, and I was driving back from a state where I'd gone to say that I was working, but I was really going to see somebody that I shouldn't be when I was still married. And I was just thought, man, you are so selfish. You don't care about anything but you. All you want to do is what you want to do. You don't care about your kids. You don't care about your wife. And my life fell apart at that point. And so I started to come into New Life for about a year. And then things got a little bit better. So I kind of off went on my own again. And I ended up getting married to Andrea, my wife. And so, this is spotty, sorry. But I was working in South Carolina, in Columbia, I think. And I was driving back to Charlotte, where we have a home, and my wife's sister's husband had given me a CD called Portrait of a Father by Chip Ingram. Now, if you know Chip Ingram, I personally think, I don't know him, but I've never heard him say anything that I didn't agree with doctrinally. He's really good, he's really kind, he's done tons of stuff. This was not the greatest CD that he'd ever put out, to be honest. It was really boring for about the first 20 minutes of it, but because he had other people speaking that were really not great speakers. But anyway, Father God decided to break my heart through this this CD, and I basically came unglued. I mean, I completely lost it. I really realized he said something in the CD. Is this too long?
No, you're okay.
Okay. He said something in the CD about you want your kids to catch you reading the Bible. You want your kids to surprise you when you're praying. Things like this. In other words, that you would be busy with these things so that your children would find you doing them, and this would be the example that they had for you. And I thought, that's not me. They're going to find me, you know, hungover or happy when I really am not naturally happy. You know, things like this. And I thought, this is terrible. And it just completely, I was also sick of the life. I had had whatever I wanted, and almost everything that I wanted was either physically making me sick, mentally making me sick, or just all about me. And so I came unglued, and I called my wife. She was at the beach with some friends for a girls' trip to Charleston or whatever. And I was just blah, 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 blah. And she had to come home early. And she was pretty mad about that. But after that happened, I had two more days of get crazy, and then that was it. I never touched anything again. And I didn't want to. It wasn't work. I didn't have to think, okay, oh man, I'm not gonna. I mean, I've seen so many people, like my father and other people I know, that are fighting it every day, and they're making notes to themselves. Do not drink today. Do not smoke cigarettes today. Whatever it is. I didn't have to do any of that. He just came on me, and it was over. And so since then, I've sort of been, you know, moving forward in the kingdom, so to speak. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but increasing and enjoying it. And my main theme, if there is one, is that we sometimes encourage each other to pray for prodigals. And I can tell you that 20 years is a long time, okay? And you may know somebody that has been doing whatever they've been doing for a long time. And it could be longer than 20 years, or it could be 20 minutes. But it's just important to know that God is always there. He's always talking to you. I don't mean you necessarily. I mean, you know, the prodigal, so to speak. And I think it's important for us to keep praying because I presume, I hope, somebody was praying for me. And whether they were or not, God never forgot about me. And he was always after me. And in the end, he got me. He won.
Amen.
And so.
Amen.
So here I am. That's great. Yeah. Okay. That's